I would like to read a word of God before we pray, which the Lord himself spoke to his disciples when he walked on earth. In Luke 6, from verse 20, a few verses. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, this is already a wonderful saying. Luke 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, now he is with his disciples. He speaks with them. Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. When I read this word, it became very great to me, and I had to think about it. And we can see from the words here that the Lord lets his disciples know from the beginning about all that is to come upon them. Maybe not everything was there at the moment when he was still with them, but when he was then taken from them, then everything he spoke about will probably have come to pass. And I think when he says here, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. We know that he did not take the rich, but the poor. At first maybe according to the worldly, maybe poor. But then maybe they also felt poor and miserable spiritually. And the Lord had to say, blessed be ye poor. He addressed them personally here. It says, he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, yes, to them he now spoke these words. And you know, but then, in our words he said, but you need not worry, for your portion is the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that a glorious promise? Perhaps rejected by all men, perhaps misjudged, and perhaps said of them, they run after this man, who after all perhaps knoweth not what is the matter with him, for he had been so disreputable. They said of him, he was born of a girl, and this and that. He is a Samaritan, and he has a devil, they said of him, and so many other things. But, you know, here it is so wonderfully written. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. This is it. Oh, you know, it is not so easy to accept such reproach, or perhaps to let people say such things to you. Who wants to walk that lower road? Who wants to tread it? Who wants to take on something like that? Isn't that so, brothers and sisters? If we look to the outward things, people are always out that their name is held high, that their name is highly honored. And when it comes to the name of Jesus, then you might want to back out and not even want to profess that way. But the Lord Jesus, He tells His disciples, we have read the words here, blessed are ye. I think this word is quite wonderful and quite precious. And you know, the Lord did not make empty words. No, His words, they have their validity. They remain. And I think He said these words not only for His disciples, but also for all those who will also come and who will hold fast to His name, who will believe His word, who will not be afraid to confess His name. For all those the Lord had spoken, and there is a beatification pronounced on part of the Lord, and we see that everything is promised to them by the Lord. For yours is the kingdom of God. And we can say that also our part is the kingdom of God. Oh, how wonderful. All these things. Maybe people have said, oh, what about these? They are poor, no education. Brother Branham said it many times. Also about Peter, who had probably no schooling. What about these people? And they were despised, mocked, and perhaps said, oh, these are just poor people who live on fish and were fishermen. What good can there be on them? Yes, but the Lord did a wonderful thing, which was incomprehensible in the eyes of men, and especially in the eyes of the wise and the prudent. And we know that some people might have said that He had chosen such people. He could have chosen the most distinguished and perhaps also the rich who would have supported Him financially. But no, He just took what was nothing in the eyes of the others. Brothers and sisters, and then He said these words to them. He looked at them. Then He lifted up His eyes on His disciples. He looked at them. What did the Lord have to see? You know, He saw in them faith, trust. He knew who to take. And so, dear brothers and sisters, this is such a glorious word and promise that He gave them. It reaches down to our day. And He said, do not be sad when all this happens to you, when this is done to you. But what is He saying? Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. That's a thing. Oh, it's not easy when you are run at from all sides, misjudged, ridiculed, this and that, and then rejoice and leap for joy. Yes, you know, if the Lord says it, you can do it. If the Lord says it, then it is justified. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. When all these things are done unto them, then their reward in heaven is sure. And you know, then they shall no more be poor. No, the reward which the Lord gives, he is not chintzy, he is not poor, nor can any rich man on earth give it. Only one can give this reward, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what has been said here. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. And do you know what he went on to say? For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So, then there is nothing left for you, but exactly what was done to the prophets will be done to you. And I think that if these are the words of the Lord, then this is what has been done to them. For the Lord has not made empty words. We all know that. He knew from the beginning what was going to happen to them. And he told them so that they did not have to become anxious in any way, but they could be confident. They could hold fast to what he had spoken to them. And so we too, dear brothers and sisters, are confident in this time, confident in this hour, grateful to God that we can hold on to his promise and that we can believe his word, because his word is true. It is living. It is more powerful than any two-edged sword. Well, it is so wonderful. We may say, huh, the time is so long. I was just reading the one sermon where Brother Ram says, he says, the men of God, they all persevered. Abraham, he had so much patience. He waited. Noah waited. And he was taken to task. Daddy, didn't you perhaps make a mistake? No. No, he says. God told me. It doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter how much time it takes. It doesn't matter through which ways it goes. Sometimes it looks so incredulous, as if God has not spoken at all. But he did speak. He said it. And then he didn't speak anymore. See, that's it. If he speaks once, that is enough. He doesn't need to keep coming back to repeat it. But he spoke once, and it was enough. And that is so wonderful. And all the men of God, it struck me as I read, they did not question God's speaking, but they stood firm in the faith. And when some approached them and somehow wanted to question it, they promptly gave them the answer, because they knew too well who was speaking to them. You will know too well when someone has spoken to you, and you will know too well what he has said to you. And I don't think anyone will be able to deny you that the man told you that, even in the earthly realm. How much less when God has spoken to someone? How much less when God chooses someone and appoints them? And here he chose his disciples and appointed them. And no one could change anything about the whole thing. Praise be to our God. We are so happy and grateful. You know, maybe I will just read one or two more verses. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. for so did their fathers to the false prophets. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to say, brothers and sisters, if we are in the truth, if we stand on the Word of God, if we are right with God, we are not spared all this either. Let us not hope that all the world will speak praises about us. Let us not hope for this and that. No. But let us hope for the first passage we have read. You know, this was fulfilled in the Lord. This was fulfilled in the prophets. It was fulfilled in the apostles. It was fulfilled in all the men of God. But, dear brothers and sisters, if we stand on the Word of God, we will not be spared this either. But I want to emphasize again, rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. These are the words of our Lord. I don't know, but I think we can give thanks to God. We can praise Him. We can worship Him, even in this evening hour. He is so wonderful. He has made us His people, His children. Yes, sons and daughters of God. And let us not be surprised if we too have to go through some things. Praise and glory be to His name. We have heard glorious words and are grateful for them. As Ephesians 1 verse 19 was read, I thought of a conversation that took place on Thursday evening. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. The same omnipotence of God, the same power of God, which showed itself in Christ, loosed the pangs of death, overcame hell, conquered devils, and was crowned by the resurrection and then by the ascension. The same exceeding power, that's how Paul says it here, shows itself in us, the believers, according to the working of His mighty power. God does not remain inactive. I know Brother and Sister Novak are here tonight, and we had a conversation with two doctors here in the hospital on Thursday evening. And we can really testify with joy that God has performed a miracle of healing. And I rejoiced inwardly, I may say this to our brother as a consolation, about his state of faith, about his immaculate testimony before these men who had to admit that this was beyond their scope and had to admit that the child is healthy and has the right weight and so on. I think this is the first time I have seen doctors humble enough to listen and admit something when the hand of God is involved. Most are exalted and arrogant. But when something so certain, tangible, happens, they too have to sit and listen for a while, and it certainly did them a world of good. It did me good too, I must say. And last night, we had an evening in Willich with a retired pastor. I showed the film of Brother Branham, this film with the healings. And this brother from Ghana, he stays with these people. And he says he doesn't feel comfortable there. And I said to him, the more comfortable I felt there yesterday, that these people saw and heard. But even in this man, in this brother from Ghana, something powerful happened. We were together a little bit today. And I heard him already yesterday, while Brother Branham was praying for the individuals. It overwhelmed him so much. There was the room sort of filled with people. And suddenly he exclaimed, "Oh my God, Lord Jesus," when things happened like that. He was overwhelmed. He saw it for the first time. And when Brother Branham again told somebody what it was all about, he again shouts at the top of his voice, "Oh my God, Lord Jesus." I thought, what will all the people say? They are all listening so quietly, and he was the only one who brought a bit of color into it. He said, "Brother Frank, since last night, I understand why I came. I was the first in Ghana to get the sermons of Brother Branham. I got a visit from America, four brothers at once. He listed them all. But he said, they all don't have the word. They don't have the Lord Jesus. They all have their own thing. And I couldn't handle it. And then I turned my back on everything like that. But now I understand what God wants from me. And if that was the only purpose, then let it be enough. I know he arranged meetings for me, but his heart was in his own program, in big things, and God is not in the big things. God is in simplicity, and he reveals himself to his people, and I think this man goes back a different man. This verse is just wonderful. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? We should grasp that in faith and give God the opportunity for his exceeding power to be demonstrated over and over again in us, the believers. It does not show itself in unbelievers. They pass by God. They always have something to complain about. But the believers believe. And where people believe, God reveals himself. It is presented as a fact. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Not put in the future, but simply presented here as a fact for you and me to see and hear that God's exceeding power shows itself mightily in us, the believers, according to the working of his mighty power. God is not only almighty, but His power is mighty and it is effective. He is at work. God is not a God who has sat down to look down about what we are starting to do, but He wants to be at work. He wants to reveal Himself. He wants His power to flow through us. He wants to make us a blessing. And I had to marvel when the film was over. This pastor's wife said, "Can't we be quiet for a moment?" And really, no one felt like talking. And we became silent before the Lord. And then I laid everything before God. And then the woman stood up and said, "Brother Frank, how helpless we are as human beings, all the needs and problems, everything and so on. And one sees me, mine, you, yours, all of us, our helplessness." But in the film, I think Brother Branham spoke the right words. He says, "Lord, we realize how clumsy and helpless we are, but we also recognize how great and all-powerful you are." And that is the thing. Not just our helplessness. If we only recognize our helplessness, then we can hardly be helped. But if we recognize our helplessness, and we all know, the Lord says, "Without me, you can do nothing." But at the same time, we recognize that His power is exceedingly demonstrated in the believers. The same power that brought Jesus up from the dead, the same power of God that conquered death, hell, and Satan, and brought forth the new life. Then, from the Gospel of Luke, it's the beatification here in Luke 6, just as the beatification in Matthew in chapter 5. It is an addition. Each of these two has just written down what the Spirit of God has inspired him with. What I notice here, I don't know if you all read carefully. Here's the word disciples. And how many disciples do you think were meant here? Who knows? How many disciples were there? I tell you clearly, not 12, not 70, but many, many. Yes, I read it to you. Don't look at me so unbelievably. I'm reading here in Luke 6, verse 17. "And He came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of His disciples So, not just a handful, not just a few whom He had called to a ministry at some point, but a great multitude of disciples, followers, people who had become believers, who had left everything to follow the Lord. If there had only been 12 disciples, then we too would stand apart. But it was a great company of His disciples and a great multitude of people. So He still made the distinction between the crowd of people and the great multitude of His disciples. For both are written here. And the company of His disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem." This is about the disciples to whom he later turned his eyes. His eyes he fixed on them when he spoke the Beatitudes. And you notice, four Beatitudes and four announcements of judgment, both in the number four, the first four and the second four. We only need to read it. It says here, in verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. That is the first beatitude. The second, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. This is the second. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. The third. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So here are four beatitudes, which the Lord called out to this company of disciples. And when these things happen, we are to regard them as nothing unusual, but receive them from the hand of God and thank the Lord for them. But that is, after all, what we have to learn, what I have to learn. We always give thanks when, of course, as children we know that when something is given to us, we say thank you. But when something else comes along, a little punishment, no one has ever said thank you. We always say thank you in a way that suits us. When gifts come, yes, then we say thank you. But when things come that don't quite fit into our program, then it's hard for us. But that's exactly what God wants. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And it may be difficult, but that is the lesson that I and all of us must learn by grace. Now come the four woes from verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. That was the first. Now the second. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Are we not thinking here of Revelation 3? You say, I'm rich, I'm full, I have everything, I need nothing at all. And just then, the Lord sets in and says, I counsel thee. And then the third, woe unto you that laugh now. Yes, there are people who laugh so beautifully. And they are also happy. The question is about what? The question is about what? And when 1 Corinthians 13 says that the love of God does not rejoice with unrighteousness, but with the truth, then there is so much truth in that we need to think about. Everybody can laugh. If one falls down, the other can laugh that he fell down. But that is not a thing. He should go and help him get back on his feet. There are many different kinds of things, even in the kingdom of God. And then it goes on, woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Then the fourth, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Yes, these are words that we must take to heart. Not only the four Beatitudes here, but also the four woes that were pronounced. Now we can examine where we are, whether in the first passage, whether in the second passage, where our spiritual stand is. And that doesn't take long at all. Every person who is sincere and who has been enlightened by the Spirit of God will have no great difficulty in finding himself somewhere and recognize his spiritual state. In verse 18 it says, all these came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. All were healed, all experienced the power of God. But, then it says, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, on his followers, on those who were called out, on his pupils. The word disciple is exactly the same as the word pupil. There were many who wanted to teach him. They knew everything better. They only came to take hold of him. And there were others whose hearts God had transformed. They wanted to hear. They wanted to learn. That's what they were focused on. And it was precisely on them that he had his eyes fixed. On exactly the same ones, the Lord, in this time, has his eyes fixed on. You all know, in Revelation, in chapter 1, right in verse 3, it says, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of the prophecy of this book, and keep those things which are written in it. To our time, a blessedness is connected with it. Many people pass by it, and of course want also to be blessed. But there is really only one way, only one truth, only one life, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as Brother Branham said, the proof that a man is really led by the Spirit of God is in believing and having revealed to him the promises and the word for the appointed time. Everything else leads past God anyway. You all know, here in these Beatitudes, two things have been said within three lines. Once it says, blessed are you who weep now. And then later, we are to rejoice and be glad. The same ones who weep now should rejoice and be glad. Both have their place. There are things that make us weep and sometimes even cry. And there are things that trigger an indescribable joy in us. A jubilation, a worship, everything has its place. You can't choose it. But God arranges it so that it happens in the right way. Because we don't know ourselves how to behave in the kingdom of God. But the Lord guides and leads us so that we experience what we read in Ephesians, that his power could be manifested in us as it was manifested in Christ. And that was already the omnipotence of God. Not just a little bit of the power of God was revealed. The whole power of God was revealed. And the power of hell was destroyed. Jesus emerged victorious and rose from the dead on the third day. Oh, I had to think like that to myself last night. And at the end, when I went home, I also said, "My God, we have the most powerful word of all times, and we are destined to be sons and daughters of God. And sometimes we are so down, almost useless to God and man. What should be of us in this time? We believe that God in Christ, and Christ is after all the second Adam, has made all things good. That which broke into pieces through the disobedience of the first Adam has been rebuilt through the obedience of the second Adam for you and for me. The damage has been made good. The fellowship with God is restored. It seems that the Lord has restored us to that state. The question, of course, is whether we have the faith and courage to act in faith. You all know we have heard about the shame, and we are now translating the sermon that we started here on Sunday, or was it on Saturday? There, Brother Branham speaks all the time. The whole thing is like a thread, that all, the Lord Himself bore shame, and all His prophets and all His people. There was not one among them who was respected. And God made it that way, so that God alone would be honored and no one else. And then when we read of Moses in Hebrews, that he considered the reproach of Christ a greater riches than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter and so on. So even then, he had Christ in mind and the reward that is given to those who are faithful to Christ during their earthly lifetime here in this world. And we see he spurned everything and he himself was spurned. When we turn our backs on the world, we can be sure it will turn its back on us as well. That's like tit for tat. But here we are dealing with the Lord. After all, our decision has been His decision. For He has chosen us, and therefore we could make our decision for Him. He has called us out. That's why we have called upon Him. He talked to us so that we could talk to Him. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Yes, great glory awaits us. Not only all the glorious blessings we already have on earth and the experiences God gives us, but all this is but a small down payment on the great and glorious inheritance that God has prepared for His own in glory. May it be our prayer that we are not only people who bear reproach, we want to bear the reproach gladly, but the mighty power and strength of God must be revealed. Then the reproach can be borne a little easier. You can all understand that quite well. And God will surely help us by grace. Blessed are ye. The Lord lifted up His eyes on His disciples. Today we may belong to this company of disciples. Today he has lifted up his eyes on you and on me. Today he lets you and me hear his Beatitudes. Today we are to respond to what he says. Wasn't there another verse? Yes, that's what it is here. But I'm sure we can read it another time, each of us separately. The time is up. May God bless us all by grace. Amen.